You know, it's a shame that they didn't have television back in the days when Jesus walked with his disciples on earth. Just imagine the possibilities. Think about how reality programming might have covered that eventful extended weekend when our Lord and his followers were really put to the test. Can you picture an episode of cops cruising with the temple police force the night they arrested Jesus? Or Judge Judy when she came before the Sanhedrin, when Jesus came before the Sanhedrin? Or, here's a stretch, The Bachelor, when Pilate asked the crowds to choose who would be the one. The fallout from that event could have provided grist for several weeks of talk shows. Now, from Jerry Springer to Dr. Phil, there might have been a mad dash to bring together the man who lost his ear that night with a disciple who cut it off. Talk about a ratings bonanza. What more appropriate a setting could there possibly have been to vent the anger aroused by that crazy affair? Let it all hang out for the world to see. Bring in some relatives and friends to fight it out on stage. Can you hear the cheering of the audience? After that, they could have put them all on a desert island to see which one would walk away with $1 million. Of course, given the time period, the losers would have retired to a cross rather than a comfy resort hotel. Now, maybe it's a good thing they didn't have television back then. What do you think? Lost amid all the hoopla might have been the cautionary words of Jesus. You know, like, put away your sword, for all who take the sword will perish by it. Now, it reminds me of what Brother James had to say. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Simple, to the point, and very difficult to do. Now, Brother James is full of such direct and demanding advice. He doesn't beat around the bush. He calls them as he sees them. Sometimes his words feel as comfortable as, well, a well-worn pair of blue jeans. Other times, what he has to say scratches our skin, and the fit might be a bit tight. Well, for better or worse, my friends, as I've said, we'll be walking with Brother James the next few Sundays in worship, so be forewarned. Now, don't let me get lost in trying to figure out who exactly Brother James was. I mean, all this New Testament letter says about him is his name, James. Now, tradition has it that he was James, the brother of Jesus. Now, what it means by brother is not all that clear, but I won't go into all those details. This James, brother of Jesus, became a key leader in the early church in Jerusalem, perhaps even more influential than the disciple Peter. He was known for being a good man, sometimes referred to as James the Just. People looked up to him. What he had to say would have been considered a must-read by the early Christians. It was good wisdom. Well, whether these plain and simple, though challenging words actually flowed from the pen of this James the Just, the brother of Jesus, I don't know. Perhaps they are a compilation of his words pulled together at a later time. Or maybe we have the wrong James. It doesn't matter. What's important is that we listen through them for the greater author who gives these all too inadequate words authority, whom we believe blows through these pages as surely as this holy wind of God blows through this wind of God in spirits, inspires our all too flawed and messy lives. In the spirit, this James becomes our brother James. You see, we, not just those folks way back then, are too easily blown about by other kinds of winds. I hope I'm not just talking about myself here, about being pushed this way and that way. By the way, have any of us been caught up in the latest Big Brother challenge? actually caring about which person wins the prize at the end. Backstabbing and manipulation are par for the course, which shouldn't shock us, because that's how the world turns, no matter how hard we try to pretend otherwise. The prevailing wind blows in the direction of, well, self-centeredness and greed. Are we going to unfurl our sails and get blown away like everyone else? Do we race after the award money at the end like the rest of the crowd, no matter the cost? Want some real wisdom? Listen again to Brother James. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low. Because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. It is the same way with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. Now, while there is something comforting in those words, they also scratch our skin as we put them on. They force us to ask, by what wind are we allowing ourselves to be propelled? Are we like the waves of the sea tossed wherever the winds of our society blow? Or are we traveling by the breath of God? That's a question we need to ask every day. Temptation, you see, is a daily affair. Okay, let's stop having a one-track mind when it comes to that word temptation. There are plenty of other ways we are pulled away from God in this world. Sex just seems to get the most press. If the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second greatest is to love your neighbor as yourself, then any wind blowing the opposite direction is temptation. Now, perhaps you recall the old acronym J-O-Y. It's a plain and simple method of prioritizing our life in Christ, listing the significant stuff in the order of their importance to us, the order we need to place them in our lives if we are to unfurl our sails and race with the wind of God. J, of course, stands for Jesus, O for others, and Y for yourself. Now, I know that when I get these messed up, when the arrangement becomes reversed somehow, and as I said in the prayer, you know, we need to pay attention to these things. We do need to pay attention to our own needs and wants. But when we get them, this sense of ordering totally screwed up, then we miss what together these letters spell, which is what? Joy. Now, what is it that pulls you away from God today? What leads you to forget that the one who created you and who saves you even exists? A huge chunk of our lives are lived in such forgetfulness. What is it that pushes your ego front and center with all its demands for self-gratification at the expense of others? What leads you to forget that others around you with their own needs and hurts even exist? Temptation is whatever blows us away from what is right and true. Temptation promises happiness but cannot deliver. Only joy can. Blessed, truly happy, full of joy is anyone who endures temptation. Our brother James writes, such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. A test. How interesting. Brother James goes on to say that God is not the school teacher passing out the test for us to pass or fail. Quote, God himself tempts no one, but one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it then. And then, when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. So writes our brother James. Plain, simple, direct. And I got to tell you, sometimes it itches like heaven. think I might say something else there. These words are blowing us in a different direction. Now, speaking of a test, if indeed the person who wrote these words was James, the brother of Jesus, James the Just, he, this historic person, faced his biggest test later in life when he was brought before the high council and asked to deny Jesus. This he refused to do, which led to his death. I wonder if that's not what our brother James is referring to by temptation. That is, whatever leads us to deny Christ in order to save our own skin. In what little ways do we deny Jesus every day? Ouch. That question itches like heaven, doesn't it? Now, reality TV shows scratch an itch in our society, apparently. Otherwise, they wouldn't be so popular. Of course, manipulation and hype are the order of the day. How else do you explain a program like Jersey Shore? Are people really that shallow? This wind doesn't just blow around on its own, you know. It has some help along the way. Furthermore, we have to set our sails in such a way as to be propelled by it. I mean, we talk about how disgusting it is for people to vent their innermost demons on national television, but there's a market of willing watchers, isn't there? Now, there's a difference when it comes to watching. There's a difference between voyeurism and real listening. All these supposed realistic TV shows tap into a temptation to be voyeurs, which I define as sneaking glimpses of the intimate lives of others to gratify our own need for intimacy. Call it joy spelled backwards. A real listening involves a connection. It involves a connection with someone, being invested, caring about them as a person, not as a piece of entertainment. I could say the same thing about listening to God, couldn't I? Real listening involves a connection between our Creator, a connection between our Creator and Savior and us. It suggests being invested, caring about God as God is, not some image that we want God to be. Caring about God as God is, not as someone to entertain us and fill our every need. And our brother James encourages us in this, saying, again, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. You know, for your anger doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, you know, kind of put aside, rid yourselves of this sordidness, the rank growth, because that's really what it is. And welcome. Lay some things aside and instead welcome with meekness the implanted word. Because it's already there. It's already within. The implanted word that has the power to save your souls. And then James makes the necessary next step, which ensures that our listening is not merely voyeurism. Be doers of the word. Those are words we are going to hear a lot this month. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror. They look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. Now the irony of focusing upon me, myself, and I, remember the children's story and little Gruntly the hog, the irony of focusing upon me, myself, and I is, according to our brother James, that we ultimately have no idea who we really are. The present winds of our society blow and have been blowing in the direction of self-discovery and self-fulfillment. But you know, the crazy thing is that when we focus solely upon that mirror, we lose track of what we're really looking for. Remember what Paul said about looking into a mirror dimly or through a glass darkly? It's not looking for a reflection of ourselves. It's for what's on the other side of that mirror. As we listen for God to speak, and sometimes that listening is in our listening to one another, in that connection that we have as we are invested in this. As we listen for God to speak, and as we listen to others through the heartfelt ears that God gives us, and as we then act upon, be doers of the word, as we then act upon what we hear, we recognize and remember who we really are. But I do have to end with this warning, my friends. It itches like heaven. Thank God.